Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. We're going to continue our series. You know, we introduced truth and love, and we got through the top portion of that. We're going to continue from there. We talked about the importance of truth, but not just truth, but truth and love. We talked about taking a stand and making sure that we root our lives and ground our lives in truth and nothing else. You know, we are at a time now when truth has been blurred, discarded, and the enemy has been able to create a society where there is an alternative for the Word of God. And we as the body of Christ have got to settle it. There is no alternative for us. We have to get to the place where whether we like it or not, whether it feels good, whether it fits our situation, we're going to choose to go with the Word of God. That has to be a conscious decision. If we stand idly by and participate with what's going on, we'll put up with things that God never intended for us to put up with. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, the enemy is doing the exact same things again. It's a big cycle. The difference is God promised us that he'd never destroy again. There'd never be destruction of mankind because of coming so vile. You guys ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Raise your hand if you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Man, we really need to make sure we are living our lives according to the Word of God and nothing else. If you are comfortable, if you never have any trials, situations come up against you, you're probably going the wrong direction. Adversary comes with it. When you and I choose the Word of God, we're choosing to stand with God, and persecution comes with that. Family, hear me clearly. There is nothing wrong with standing on truth concerning things like gender identity. There is nothing wrong with saying, I believe the Word of God. I believe it's supposed to be male and female. I believe sin is from the devil, and the body of Christ should cling to truth and hope. And not get comfortable, not allow iniquity to be a part of our lives. It's right to stand on truth, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it comes against what we want to do. You know, our want to gets in the way a whole lot. Our want to, our own desires get in the way. You know what? We have more trouble with us than we do the devil. Somebody say amen to that, because it's true. It's true. It's true anyway. Our want to, our will gets in the way more than the devil does. You know, the devil is defeated. The devil is under our feet. That means we have to stoop down to even hear what he has to say. Thank you, ma'am. What a concept. If the devil is under your feet, under your feet, what do you have to do? What posture do you have to get into in order to hear him? True or not true? Now here's the thing. You have to believe the devil's under your feet. Here's the other thing. Terrell brought this up a couple weeks ago. Sometimes we act as if the devil and God are equal. Sometimes we act like he is a true adversary of God. The devil is defeated. He is no match for Almighty God. We have to settle that. Can we agree with that? Raise your hand if you agree with that. I can't move on until we agree with that. We have to agree with that. The devil is not bigger than the God you serve, who gave you all. All has been given to you, and now the greater one lives on the inside of you. We have to settle that. Every time the enemy comes against me, you know what? I'm greater. I'm coming towards you. I'm not ducking and running. I'm not hiding. I'm not allow fear, guilt, and shame to hover over me, because the greater one lives on the inside of me. Look at somebody and say, the greater one lives on the inside of you. That is truth. And this series is called Truth in Love. And we have to get to the point where we stand on truth and we love people enough to say something about it. We have to love them enough. We have to love ourselves enough to not get caught up in anything that is not true. So absolutely critical. We have the same notes from last week. You know, I use the example of wisdom. We have wisdom that has been made available to us. And I use the example of my son Josiah, our youngest son, needing some wisdom concerning something and coming to me and me saying, you know what? It's awesome that you have me in your life, because you're never limited to 23-year-old wisdom. At any time, you can come to me. We can add our wisdom together, and you can start to flow in 76-year-old wisdom. And I use that example to say you and I are never limited to ourselves. We are never limited to our know-how at any time. Father, I don't know what to do. I need your help. I need wisdom concerning this. And at any point, you and I can begin to tap in and flow in eternal wisdom. At any time. You understand, we don't lack wisdom. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. We do not lack wisdom. And we have to know and understand that. It says, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 30, this is the New King James Version. It says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Raise your hand if you said yes to Jesus. That means you are now in Christ Jesus. That means this is referring to you. Who became for us, what's it say? Wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Do you realize you are just as wise as you are righteous? Because of Jesus. Not because of our upbringing, our background, what we've done. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are just as wise as we are righteous. You know, it took a while for the church to get to the point where the church understood righteousness, understood that we were not sinners. We're not sinners struggling to get by. We're not worms crawling around waiting for God to help us, snatch us out. We've gotten to the point where we understand, because of him, the gift of righteousness is now mine. Now, the same thing applies to wisdom. Because of him, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 1:30, The wisdom of God is readily available for you and I. Did anybody else see that? This means in Christ, I am already wise. In Christ, I already have the answer. Now it's about you and I drawing it out. How do we draw it out? How do we draw it out? Real question. How do we draw it out? Who dwells on the inside of us? Let's go to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Open book test. John chapter 16 and verse 13. I apologize, media team. I'm bouncing around. Catch me if you can. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Let's read this together. Let's get on the same page. It's on the screen. Ready? Read. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not. Things to come. Know what that sounds like? Wisdom. The Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us will tell us things to come. Wisdom. And notice also in this scripture, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It makes sense that the enemy would fight the baptism of the Holy Spirit the way the enemy fights the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if he can keep us separated from truth, we walk right into his hands because he's the ultimate deceiver. Of course he doesn't want us to know truth. And of course, the battle against being filled with the Holy Spirit is the enemy's greatest attack. Because he's got to keep us separated from truth. He's got to keep us separated from that know-how. And the other attack that's constant is division. He can divide the body. If he can keep the body thinking there's something wrong with the Holy Spirit, he has a deceived individual who is all alone. What a target for the enemy. I have yet to see anybody deceived deliver themselves from themselves. You know what? That will never happen. You and I are never going to deliver ourselves from ourselves. We always need the help of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to give us insight and revelation so we can say, oh, okay, and make a change. That is so vital for you and I. The Word of God is truth. Truth is the highest form of reality. Family, whenever anybody tries to separate truth from the Word of God, deception is lingering and waiting for an opportunity to steer us off course. Look at your neighbor and say this. There is no separating truth from the Word of God. We have to settle that. We have to hold on to the Word of God like never before. Truth is the highest form of reality. Truth is made available because of the Holy Spirit. It is important that you and I tap in to the wisdom of God. We have to make a decision not to limit ourselves to ourselves. We have to understand that it's the greater one on the inside of us that's going to help us get to the next level. We have to know and understand Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 says wisdom is the principal thing, that the number one thing, the priority. Wisdom is priority. We have to get wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. Proverbs 15:2 says the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Anyone who separates or tries to separate the word from truth begins to pour out foolishness. every time they talk. Let's go to where we left off last week. Let's go to Colossians. Go to Colossians. No, let's go to, let's drop down to Psalms 111, verse 10. Then from now on, media team, we should be good. I'm done bouncing around, as far as I know. Psalms 111, verse 10, hits it on the head. It all starts. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." In order for you and I to be wise, the first step is fearing the Lord. Now that word fear is not running for your life. It's reverence. That fear is talking about respecting. How about value? Here's a good way to define fear in the Bible. Valuing God's opinion over my own. That's reverence. That's saying, "I don't feel like it, Lord, but I'm going to do it anyway. I have to love him too? Dear God, come on, Lord. I'm going to do it anyway. I have to forgive again? I'm going to do it anyway." Because we're valuing his opinion over our own. If some of y'all were God, we all have been burnt up a long time ago. Had a bad day, just liberate a state. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Honor and value the word of God. The truth is, doing his commandments makes all the difference in our lives. Say this with me. I am a doer, not just a hearer. See, family, what makes the word of God work for us is doing it. Every time we do the word does its part and we get a benefit from it. You know why? Because God is already committed to his word. And the promise is, my word will not return void. When you and I align our lives with the word of God, his goodness is going to flow on our behalf, his blessings, his promises. And that's what we want. We want the promises of God flourishing in our life. True or not true? So very important. We need to value God's word. It requires us making a conscious decision. When we yield to the, and this is the other thing that stops us from valuing God's word, is valuing the opinion of others more than we value God's word. What will my family think? What will they say about me if they knew I really believed the word of God? What will they say about me if I stand against something that the devil is trying to make normal? What are they going to say? How am I going to look? Go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Where are you guys going? Proverbs 29:25. This is something that happens every time we value man's opinion, our brothers, our cousins, our moms, our dads. Every time we value others' opinions over the word of God, it says the fear of man brings a snare. A snare is just a trap. You and I trap ourselves to their identity of us when we fear people over God. We automatically set ourselves up to be trapped, to be intertwined with their expectation. And that's the last thing God wants us to do. God wants us to look to him, please him, and allow our faith to be effective. Look to God for our marching orders. The truth is, caring about what people think more than about what God says will always trap us. And I made this statement last week. Choosing care will kill our crops. When we choose care over him, we kill our crops. Mark 4:19 is where that statement came from. It says, "And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The truth is, we are competing against two different forces. We're competing against the cares of this world, which automatically brings forth corruption and loss. And we're also looking to the force of truth, which always brings the power of God. Always brings the power of God. I'm reminded of a ministry that I was a part of. I was serving at this ministry, and it was tough. It was. I mean, y'all been in ministry before? Raise your hand if you've been in ministry. Is ministry easy? No, they hit it on the head when they say ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. They hit it on the head whoever said that is so true. Well, I was dealing with this individual who was my superior. I was serving in his ministry, and there was an opportunity where offense would have been the right response. I had every right to be offended. And I don't even know where I got this from, but my understanding of my role serving in the church was, you know what, God, I'm working for you. And that is who you place me under to serve, so you need to deal with him. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and you heard everything that went on. Lord, you need to handle that. Because I'm ready to walk. And here's the problem with that. If I would have walked, it would have been because of me and my feelings. And I would have aborted what God told me to do. And here's the thing, family. Offense is coming. If you haven't, all of you have been offended at some point. Unless you're under 12. Even then. Listen to this. If God told you to do something, do it. No matter what. No matter who comes against you. Because when it comes down to it, what did I say? What were my instructions to you? So I stayed the course, did what I felt God had in my heart to do, and it ended up turning around to where I got an apology. The things shifted around. I stayed the course, and I did not abort God's plan for my life. And so many people, I'm thinking of a group of people right now, that because of something was said, something was done by man, we disobey God because of what man said. Does that make sense on any level? But it feels good. You ain't gonna talk to me like that. I'm out of here. And I leave God's plan, God's purpose, God's provision right from where I walked away from. God calls us to do something because he knows what's going on down the road. You know what? The perfect example, two people, the children of Israel, the Israelites, two of them got it. There were 12 spies that went in, and two got it. The 10 saw the exact same thing. They forgot who they were. God didn't say, do this unless there's opposition. God didn't say, do this unless somebody doesn't like it. We have to stand our ground and do what God has called us to do, no matter what. Don't allow people to pull you off course. Whatever you do, settle that in your heart. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to, you know, so what? There's giants over there. I'm going forward. That's my land. Those giants got to get out of my land. God promised me that land. I'm going to go get it. If God's promised you a ministry, you go get it. Forget what people think, what people say, what people have done. What did God say? Allow that to be valuable to you. Allow that to be more valuable to you than what people are saying. I throw my notes away. Somebody needs to hear this today. It is family. We just have to take the word of God and go forward. Forge forward with the word of God. It's not going to be comfortable. You know where your breakthrough's at? Right outside your comfort zone. That's where your breakthrough's at. Keep pressing forward. Keep doing what you know God has called you to do. What was the last thing God said? What a great self-check for us. What was the last thing God said? Are you doing it? The truth is, although we live in a sense-ruled world, we are in it, but we're not of it. We have to choose to function from our heavenly citizenship. We have to make the decision. I said this last week. We give power to whatever we fear. Whatever we bow down to in fear, we give power to. I also said, whatever we are hiding still has us. If there is something that we're ashamed of, if there's something that's too embarrassing or too shameful to share with somebody you trust, all that means is that thing still has you. True or not true? This is truth and love, right? I can say that. Can I speak truthfully to us? Anything that traps us in the realm of our senses will have power over us. Our spirit man has the ability to rule over our soul and our physical man. And one of my prayers is, Lord, show me how to function in the supernatural. Show me how to function in the spirit realm, because I don't want to be limited to the natural realm. Sometimes the natural realm just sucks. It does. Can I say sucks in church? Can I say that? Am I all right? It's awesome that I'm not limited to it. You're not limited to it. We can tap in to the supernatural. We can tap into the spirit realm. And here's the thing. Once we know who we really are, our spirit man will dominate our soulish man and our physical man. But it requires us, first of all, having that desire. First of all, we have to expect the supernatural. We have to reverence, acknowledge, and expect the supernatural realm. I remember being taunted by demons, and I was in Sacramento with my brother, and my brother, he didn't give me a real warning. He kind of, he said, I just want to let you know things are kind of different up here right now. And I was like, okay, all right. Then I went up there, so I'm in Sacramento, sleep on my brother's floor, and we're talking about supernatural, spiritual realm. I'm sleeping on this floor, and all of a sudden, the covers moved a little bit. I opened my eyes, looked around, back to sleep, and then I felt the exact same thing. Well, this time they moved a little more. And I'm looking around. And then I felt it the third time. This time I looked up and I saw the carpet being indented. Have I shared the story before? Y'all get all my business. Y'all pull it on me. I saw just indentation in the carpet, just impressions in the carpet running away. And you know, and I got up and I knew enough to start praying, so I started praying. And then the direction those footsteps went was my brother's bedroom. So we got up in the morning, we're trying to play it cool. You know, we're going in there, getting some cereal out of the cupboards, and I look over and he says, how'd you sleep? Well, you know, I got a little sleep. How'd you sleep? And he looked over at me. Man, there was a time when I opened my eyes and there were just eyes all around my bed. And he said, Brady, I told you, you know, things are going on. That was that night. That was that morning. We talked about it at breakfast. And I went to the liquor store, walked to the liquor store close to his house. And then there was a bum sitting, standing outside of the liquor store. I didn't think nothing of it. He was smoking. And I walked up and I looked over at him and he turned around. And the face wasn't a face. It was like a bunch of smoke just twirling around. And I looked, and he turned around, and I was like, whoa. And then I'm thinking, man, I'm not smoking nothing. I'm not, you know, this. I'm not tripping. And then I went in the store, got whatever I was getting, walked out of the store. And then as I was walking out of the store, I heard Freddie. And I looked over, and then I started praying. But the bum said my name, and he said it in such a way that was familiar. It wasn't like, is your name Freddie? He said, Freddie, got my attention. And I you know, looked over real quick, and I started praying, and I thought, now what is going on? And the attacks happening like that. There's little things waking me up in the middle of the night. And I'm saying all this to say the reality of the spirit realm. That all led to, there's different times where I couldn't get up. I was laying on my back. I couldn't sit up. You know, I felt like I was being choked out. You know, all just pure attacks. And it all led to when me coming to Arizona, I was driving a car. Some of you heard this story, I know. This is the end of it. I was driving a car, fell asleep. I was going 120 miles an hour. When I opened my eyes, I saw the speedometer. That's why I know it was 120 miles an hour. I was asleep. I raised my head up. I saw the speedometer. Then I saw tail lights in front of me. Slammed on the brake, snatched the wheel, and locked the wheel, slid off the road, flipped the car 7-8 times. And just heard the crashing, just the glass breaking, the metal screeching. And at the end of that, I got out of the car. I was mad because I considered myself a good driver. I'm kicking the tires, walking around the car. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, I'm alive. You know, and then I kind of gathered myself and started being grateful for the fact that I was alive. And then I heard that same familiar voice say, oh, so before I crashed, I missed the whole point of the story. I knew I was going to crash. I consider myself a good driver. You don't ever snatch the wheel going 120 miles an hour and expect to come out of that. So when I knew I was going off the side of the road, off the I-10, I screamed Jesus at the top of my lungs. That was my prayer. There wasn't a Heavenly Father. There wasn't an amen. I didn't quote any scripture. I said, Jesus, and I felt like hot oil from the top of my head all the way down through my body. It literally felt like hot oil, and I knew I wasn't going to die. I knew God came and saved me, and after I had my little pity party and came to myself, I heard this voice say, oh, you had to call on him, didn't you? And I made a decision knowing for sure that there is a spirit realm. Well, there's evil spirits and heavenly spirits involved. I'm going to go with God. I made the decision, I'm going to go with God. And have you ever noticed the attraction or the way Hollywood pumps up horror movies? You know, every time something traumatic happens or that scare, every time fear is elevated, it's an opportunity for spirit right in there. Every time there's something traumatic that takes place, there's an opportunity for spirit to come in. And that spirit becomes familiar, start acting like it's our personality. That's what the enemy wants to do. And the truth is, there are some things that you and I need to absolutely stay away from and be free from. Period. That is so critical. I've been on both sides of that. I've seen manifest. I've seen the power of God manifest. And believe me, the power of God is just better. It's just better to see blind eyes open. It's just better to see somebody who couldn't hear before you pray for them and then they hear. Better. You know, my desire for Word Life Church is get to the place where the supernatural is just where it's just who we are. Like, of course she got healed. Of course he got healed. It's just normal. But that has a lot to do with our expectation. I mean, don't give up on. Don't, and you know, whenever somebody, we had two people who were born again for the first time. I say that because my Baptist background. I had two people, there were two people who accepted Jesus for the first time last week. And that's a big deal. You know, there was an individual that had healing manifest. There were three people who were baptized in water. But we need to celebrate supernatural activity. We need to celebrate. We need to get to the point to where we celebrate it, give God the glory, and expect it. Expect it. Every day is a receiving day. Every day. Miracles are happening. Why not happen to you? You realize that every day miracles are happening? Every day there is a miracle. Why not me? Why not you? Why not expect a miracle every day? You know, I'm some of you heard this story also. My daughter was born dead, and I'm shortening up. And my reaction was so automatic. She was dead. She was purple. There was a crew that rushed out. Critical team rushed in, and in the spirit, I saw my little baby's spirit ascending. And without thinking anything, I was praying in the spirit. I didn't care about the nurses and doctors. I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel. I was praying in the spirit, and without any hesitation, my hand went up in the air like this, and I was praying in the spirit. And when, by the time my hand relaxed and I exhaled, I saw her little lungs, her chest just opened up. And I'm right here. My response was supernatural. My response was supernatural. That's where we need to be as a local body. Automatic. Go ahead and celebrate. Go ahead and celebrate that miracle. That miracle that God did automatically. That's the way we are to live our lives. And now we have the privilege of watching our daughter Tatiana flourish in the things of God. We have the privilege of seeing her trust God, believe God. And that happens intentionally. We have to choose the word of God plus nothing. Somebody needs a miracle in here today. And you need to know and understand that that miracle is available. It doesn't matter what traps us in the sense realm. Whatever traps us in the sense realm is our enemy. We don't belong stuck in the sense realm. Our five physical senses are awesome and necessary to function on the earth. But guess what? We're not limited to just the earth. We can tap into the supernatural. We're supposed to tap into the supernatural and flow that way. The purpose of this series is to speak truth in love in the midst of conflict and confusion. And it's easy to say and see that the world is absolutely confused. I mentioned last week, gender should not be an issue. No one should be wondering what gender they are. That should be a fight, a bill, a law concerning gender. Dear God. The things that's going on, what the enemy is trying to do, and this series is meant to fuel us with truth enough to say something about those we love. You realize if we don't say anything, our kids could grow up thinking that's normal. Man, what an alarming realization. They need to know, no, honey, that's not God's word. No, let's go back to the word of God. Let's get our decision making from the word. Let's get our opinion from the word of God. That scares a lot of people. You know what? I am not interested in what I think, what I say. I've messed up enough to know for sure my way is not the way. I need no convincing whatsoever on that matter. I know I need to rely on and trust the Holy Spirit to guide my steps. And y'all do too. Some of y'all have experienced enough of our own bloopers. My prayer is that we allow the Word of God to be the true authority in our lives. We have to make a stand to just, you know, the Word plus nothing. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. You know, our society has been through some tremendous times lately. Just all kind of junk going on in this society. And it's so awesome to see different people in my life that have chosen to stand on the Word of God and have been unshakable, just unmovable because the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is not a trend, it's not a fad, it's not a phase that we go through. Word of God has to be our life. That's where Word Life Church came from. The Word has to be our life. And if it is, here's the guarantee. You're going to make it. If you make the Word your life, you're going to make it. You're absolutely going to be a success. You're going to succeed by standing on the Word of God. You know, we have to make a decision. Romans 8, 5, and 6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds. That's, you know, that the See that picture of a thermostat being set to the temperature that you want. In fact, let's all go there. Let's all go to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Where you guys going? Romans 8, 5 and 6. How many of you guys trust the Lord? How many of you depend on the Word of God? Critical. That has to be our mantra. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, "For those who live according to the flesh, see the thermostat, set their minds on the things of the flesh." That's our doing. That's intentional. "But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, that set applies to the things of the Spirit also. Then it goes on to say, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." That is a decision. To be carnally minded is death. To be a meathead brings death. You guys ever heard of carnitas? That's what that word carnality means. Carnal, that means meat, that means flesh. Don't be a flesh head. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't be a flesh head." set your mind on the things of God. Set your mind. Choose to live according to the Spirit. The flesh is simply a sense-ruled mind or life. And sometimes we can get it twisted thinking, you know, the flesh is evil or doing wrong. The flesh could simply be not trusting God to get you out of it. That's carnal thinking. If you don't trust God to get you out of it, if you're not thinking, wait a minute, God's not limited. If you're limiting yourself to, well, I don't have that in my account, or man, I can never do that, that's being carnal. No apology. That's being carnal. Spiritually minded is God can do anything. I'm His. He can do anything. That's being spiritually minded. Thank God we have a choice. We can live according to the Spirit. We can set our minds accordingly. Or we can embrace the abundant life of Jesus. Family, let me tell you the things that are going to come against that. The things that are going to come against you and I setting our minds to spiritual things is going to be people's opinions, power, and money. People's opinions, power, and money will prevent us from choosing spiritual things. But we have to settle it now and forever. No matter what is presented to me, standing on truth. No matter what they say about me, I'm standing on truth. No matter how much money they offer me, I'm standing on truth. That's something that has to be done up front. You don't prepare for a battle when your bullets are flying over your head. Prepare for a battle before the battle, true or not true. And we have an awesome opportunity right now to set our minds on spiritual things that are about to come. So very, very important. Gary, the Lord finds great pleasure in you. And the way you handle Him brings Him absolute delight. I don't know what that is or what that means, but whatever you're doing, you're interacting with the Father, wanted me to tell you, it brings Him great pleasure. Keep doing whatever that is you're doing. You know, family, we're all faced with the time that we're in. We all see it around us. Here's the thing. God knew when you were going to be made. He knew you were going to live during this time. And here's the thing. He trusts you with His Word and with His Son during this time. He trusts you. He knew when you were going to be born. And He knew you had what it takes to continue the work of the Messiah. He knew you had what it takes to champion truth. In a time of confusion, He knew you have what it takes. The Lord is calling you forth. Send a prayer. Yes, ma'am. Stand up. The Lord is calling you forth to take the land. Calling you forth to do what He's called you to do. Not for you, but there are nations on the inside of you that only you can touch. He's requiring boldness from you. He's requiring you to step out anyway. Even if it's just you, you'll never be left alone. Your part is step out in boldness. Do it anyway. Let's stretch our hands toward our dear sister. Father, we agree with you calling her forth to do what you created her to do. We come in agreement with the nations that are on the inside of her. We thank you, Lord, for the souls that will come into the kingdom of God because of her obedience. We come alongside of her. We speak boldness, courage, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it is so important that we get to the place that we stand flat-footed and say, Jesus, you plus nothing. It's a decision because fear comes in. True or not true? It does. Fear comes in. Hesitation. And hesitation just gives the room for the enemy to try to talk you out of God's plan, God's will for your life. So I'm not going to say obey. I'm going to say obey quickly. Obey quickly. Respond.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.